So I've been thinking of Lent as like spring cleaning, or if that doesn't work for you, like cleaning your garden, getting it ready for the new season, or getting your lawnmower all tuned up for another summer when you're actually going to have to cut some grass, or really taking a look at getting your bike ready to roll. You know, because the truth of the matter is, we do cleaning and maintenance all the time, but we still need periodic deep cleaning, more extensive tune-ups. You know, so we clean the house, but we're not necessarily getting behind the refrigerator, right? And we take our bike out for a ride and we pump up the tires because you can't ride on flat tires. But, you know, have we been dealing with all the rust on the fenders, right? We all need periodic deep cleaning. The point is not to sit there feeling guilty. You know, I'm a terrible housekeeper. Look how gross that spot behind the refrigerator is. Can you believe it's that dirty? Or, I'm no good at maintaining anything. Look how much dry rot there is in that wall. How much sneaked in since the last time I checked it. Now, the point isn't just to stand there and look at the nastiness, whatever it is, and bemoan it. The point is to do something about the problems that we see. To clean, to repair, to make ready for use. And some things are pretty easily addressed, you know. You can get that behind the refrigerator slime. It may be nasty, but you can do it, at least if you can reach it. But some spots will require special, repeated attention. Those moldy spots in the window tracks that you work on and you work on and you work on, and you may have to scrape and repaint. Or that rusty spot on the bike rim that may require scraping, sanding, painting with Rust-Oleum. Doing some serious work, because it's not just an easily fixed thing. It's a persistent problem. Oh, running with that analogy, Lent is a time to do a checkup on our hearts, a deep clean, a getting ready for action. We're checking up on our love for God and our love for neighbor. Even though we're practicing our love for God and our love for neighbor all the time, if we are people of faith and we're participating in community worship, it's easy to let those corners start to accumulate some pretty gunky stuff if we never examine them. And so Lent is a time to stop and do a serious looking around, to ask ourselves, to ask you, what in your life is most important to you? What do you love more than God? Do you love your neighbor? Really love your neighbor? Do you get so involved in practicing self-care that you're doing it instead of caring for others? Or do you take care of yourself in a way that deepens your capacity to care for others? Does your neighbor's suffering matter as much to you as your own? Which is, I think, where Isaiah is going in that really compelling message about the fast that God chooses. It's not about groveling in front of God and saying, oh, I'm so filthy. It's about noticing your neighbor's need and responding in love. Bishop Akiyama, our new bishop, wrote a beautiful reflection on Ash Wednesday that's posted on the diocesan webpage. She said, in part, in all honesty, I really don't want to give up anything this Lent. I feel like I've given up so much because of this pandemic. I suspect we can all relate to that, including being together here in church. She continued, "But the other day, as I pondered this resistance, my thoughts wandered to those whose lives are disrupted, destabilized, and desperate, even in non-COVID times. I began to think about what the ritual of Ash Wednesday invites when you have given up so much already. This reflection led me to reflect on the depth of Christ-centered self-denial. It is not about suffering and the display of one's suffering. It is about giving up the stubborn insistence that we are in control of it all. It is about giving up the selfish belief that those others are the ones who need to repent. Ash Wednesday is the threshold into the season of giving up our hardened hearts." And she continues, "I want to suggest that we do something daring and radical this Ash Wednesday. I ask each of us to reflect on what is required of us to give up the parts of our hearts that are hardened. Give up the self-righteousness, the cynicism, the deaf ear to those who disagree with us. Give up those hardened parts of our hearts, and instead open our hearts to loving each other. Period. No conditions, no prerequisites, no qualifiers. Let's take this time, beginning with Ash Wednesday, to repent of our hardened hearts and the ways we have separated ourselves from each other. Let's take this time to open our hearts to the other, read, the one who disagrees with us, and to love them by reflecting God's infinite love for us." Thought she, it was a really powerful message that takes into account where we are today in our nation, where we are in our congregations, retreated into our corners, and finding it hard to love. The fast God chooses puts us back in right relationship with God and with each other. So this Lent, let's examine ourselves in the light of God's love. Let's be willing to bear painful truths about ourselves, if learning them means healing for ourselves and for others. Let's have the courage in this Black History Month to learn the history of the ways that whites have harmed communities of color over and over again, and how we still perpetuate that harm. And let's not avoid that work because we're tired of it. I had a very moving conversation with my friend, colleague, Ernestine, who's a priest in this diocese who immigrated here from Liberia. And I've been meeting every other week with her and some of the other deans to study a book about racism and the history of the church in promoting racism. It was really horrifying. And she was reflecting after a conversation among the clergy on the comments that she had heard. She said, you know, her white clergy colleagues were saying, yeah, we know we had that racism discussion, and we're done. We're tired of talking about racism. And Ernestine said, people of color, like me, are the ones who have the right to be tired. We live with these realities every day. White people can choose whether they have to deal with them or not. We can't. You don't get to be tired. I thought, thank you, Ernestine, That was a really important, reality check. And that's part of the painful truth that we have to hear. If we're really going to practice love, we can't just retreat and curl up because we feel hurt by a truth we don't want to hear. We have to have the courage to look at it in the light of God's love for us and for our neighbor and say, what part of that truth am I responsible for? What can I do about that? Not to sit here and, roll around in my guilt, but instead to say, what is God asking me to change? And how is God empowering me to change it? So let's tear down the walls that divide us from each other, the walls that we have built brick by saying, I'm right and you're wrong. Or we are just so different that there's no way we could ever communicate. Let's tear down those walls and build bridges instead. Let's repair broken relationships and rebuild community. That's what God calls us to. That's the fast that God chooses, so that we can become repairers of the breach, rebuilders of streets to live in, here in our local community, across the nation, across the world. It's the work of love. It's the work we're called to all the time, but that we're especially called to think about and reflect on in Lent. God loves us. God calls us to live in love with each other. So let's walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Though we can't gather in communion right now, we can practice that kind of communion. That's what it really means to be the body of Christ. Amen.